Chapter 7. A bent lamppost bore the street sign. It pointed diagonally downward into a bomb crater in which lay the fragments of a wall and an iron bedstead. He walked around the crater and ran on. Further off, he saw an undamaged house standing. 18, he whispered. It has to be number 18. God grant that 18 is standing. He had made a mistake. It was only the front of a house. In the darkness, it had looked whole, but as he came up to it, he saw that the entire back had fallen in. High up, a piano hung jammed between steel girders. The cover had been torn off, and the keys gleamed like a gigantic mouth full of teeth, as though a huge prehistoric animal were glaring down in rage. The door of the house front stood wide open. Graber ran across to it.
Look out there, someone shouted. Be careful. Where are you trying to go?
He did not answer. Suddenly he could no longer recall where his parents' house should be. Through all the years he had seen it before his eyes, every window, the front door, the steps. But now on this night everything had become confused. He did not even know on which side of the street he was standing.
Look out, man, the voice cried again. Do you want that wall on your head?
Graber stared through the door of the house. He saw the beginning of a staircase. He looked for the house number. An air raid warden came up.
What are you doing here?
Is this number 18? Where is 18?
18?
The air raid warden straightened his helmet.
Where is 18? Where was 18, you mean, surely?
Was.
Of course. Haven't you eyes?
This isn't 18.
Wasn't 18. Was. It doesn't exist anymore. Was is the word.
Graber seized the man by the lapels of his coat.
Listen, he said wildly. I'm not here to listen to wisecracks. Where is 18?
The air raid warden looked at him.
Let go of me at once, or I'll blow this whistle for the police. You have no right to be here. This is a clean-up area. They will arrest you.
They will not arrest me. I have come from the front.
How impressive. Do you suppose this isn't a front right here?
Graber let the man go.
I live in 18, he said. 18 Hockenstrasse. My parents live here.
No one lives in this street anymore.
No one?
No one. I ought to know. I used to live here, too.
The man suddenly showed his teeth.
Used to! Used to! He shouted. We have had 6 air raids here in 10 days, you frontline soldier. And you damned scoundrels have been loafing out there, whole and hearty as anyone can see. And my wife? There.
He pointed to the house they were standing in front of.
Who is going to dig her out? No one. Dead. No point in doing it now, say the rescue squads. Too much urgent work elsewhere. Too many blasted records and blasted bureaus and blasted agencies that have to be rescued.
He thrust his haggard face close to Graber.
Do you want to know something, soldier? Nobody has any idea what's happening till it happens to him. And if he knows it, then it's too late. You frontline soldier,
he spat.
You brave frontline soldier with your medals. 18 is over there. There where they're digging.
Graber left the man where he was. There where they're digging, he thought. There where they are digging.
It is not true. I'm going to wake up right away, and I'll be in the bunker. I'll wake up in the cellar of the nameless Russian village, and Immermann will be there cursing, and Muka and Zaur. This is Russia here. This is not Germany. Germany is whole and safe.
He heard shouts and the clattering of shovels. Then he saw the men on the bulging ruins. Water was streaming out of a broken main in the street. It glittered in the rays of the shielded lights. He ran up to a man who was giving orders.
Is this 18? What? Get away from here. What are you looking for? I'm looking for my parents, in 18. Where are they? Man, how should I know that? Am I God? Were they rescued? Ask someone else. That's not our affair. We only dig people out. Are there some buried here? Of course. Do you think we're digging for fun?
The man turned back to the crew.
Stop! Quiet! Wilmann, knock!
The workers got up. They were men in sweaters, Men in dirty white collars, men in old mechanics' overalls, men with military trousers and civilian jackets. They were dirty and their faces were wet. One of them knelt down in the rubble with a hammer and knocked against a pipe that was sticking up.
Silence!
Shouted the overseer. There was silence. The man with the hammer pressed his ear against the pipe. The breathing of the men and the trickling noise of mortar were audible. From a distance came the sounds of an ambulance and a fire engine. The man with the hammer knocked again. Then he straightened up.
They're still answering, but they're knocking faster. There can't be much air left.
He knocked a few times very fast in reply.
Get at it, shouted the overseer. Farther over there, to the right. We'll have to drive the pipes through so they can get some air.
Graeber was still standing beside him.
Is this an air raid shelter?
Of course, what else?
Do you think anyone would still be able to knock if he wasn't in a shelter?
Graeber swallowed. Are they people from this house? The air raid warden over there said no one lives here anymore.
The air raid warden is off his trolley. People are down there knocking. That's enough for us. Where they live is not our business.
Graeber pulled his knapsack off.
I'm strong. I can help dig them out.
He looked at the men.
I must. My parents.
It's all right with me.
Philemon, here's another for relief. Have you an extra axe?
The man with the crushed legs came first. A beam had shattered them and pinned him down. The man was still alive. He was not unconscious. Graeber stared into his face. He did not know him. They sawed through the beam and pulled up a stretcher. The man did not scream. He just turned up his eyes and they were suddenly white. They widened the entrance and found two bodies. Both were crushed flat. The faces were flat. Nothing stood out any longer. The noses were gone and the teeth were two rows of flat kernels, somewhat scattered and askew, like almonds baked in a cake. Graeber bent over them. He saw dark hair. His people were blonde. They hauled the bodies out and they lay, strange and flat, on the street. It grew lighter. The moon was rising. The sky became a soft, very cool, almost colorless blue.
When was the raid?
Graeber asked when he was relieved.
Yesterday night.
Graeber looked at his hands. They were black in the insubstantial light. The blood that ran down from them was black, too. He did not know whether it was his own. He did not even know that he had been scratching away rubble and splintered glass with his bare hands. They went on working. Their eyes streamed. The acids and the vapors from the bombs bit into them. They wiped them dry with their sleeves, but they quickly filled again.
Hey, soldier!
Someone shouted behind him. He turned around.
Is that your knapsack?
Asked a figure that wavered in his tear-blurred vision.
Where?
Over there. Someone's just making off with it.
Graeber was about to turn back.
He's stealing it,
the figure said, pointing.
You can still catch him. Quick, I'll take your place here.
Graeber could no longer think. He simply followed the voice and the arm. He ran down the street and saw someone climbing over a pile of rubble. He caught up with him. It was an old man dragging the knapsack. Graeber stepped on the strap. The man let go, turned around, lifted his hands, and emitted a thin, high squeak. His mouth was big and black in the moonlight, and his eyes glittered. A patrol came up. It consisted of two SS men.
What's going on here?
Nothing,
Graeber replied, and slung his knapsack over his shoulder. The squeaking man was silent. He was breathing quick and loud.
What are you doing here?
One of the SS men asked. He was a middle-aged troop leader.
Papers.
I'm helping dig people out. Over there. My parents used to live there. I must...
Papers,
said the troop leader more sharply. Graeber stared at the two. There was no point in questioning whether the SS had the right to check on soldiers. There were two of them, and both were armed. He fumbled for his furlough certificate. The man got out a flashlight and read it. For a moment, the piece of paper was as brightly lighted as though it glowed from inside. Graeber felt his muscles quivering. Finally, the light went out, and the troop leader returned his certificate.
You live at 18 Hockenstrasse?
Yes,
Graeber said, mad with impatience.
Over there. We are just digging the people out. I'm looking for my family.
Where?
Over there, where they're digging. Can't you see?
That isn't 18, the troop leader said.
What?
That is not 18. That is 22. 18 is here. He pointed to a ruin out of which iron girders rose.
Is that certain?
Graber stammered. Of course. Everything around here looks the same now, but that is 18. I know that for sure. Graber looked at the ruins. They were not smoking. This part of the street wasn't bombed yesterday, said the troop leader. I think it was last week, or perhaps even longer ago.
Do you know? Graber choked and then went on. Do you know whether the people were saved?
I don't know, but some are always saved. Perhaps your parents weren't even in the house. During alarms, most people go into the big bomb shelters.
Where can I find that out? And where can I find out where they are now?
Nowhere tonight. The town hall was hit and everything's mixed up. Ask at the district office early tomorrow morning. What were you doing with this man?
Nothing. Do you think there are still any people under the ruins?
There are bodies everywhere. If we wanted to dig them all out, we'd need 100 times as many men. The damned swine bomb a whole city indiscriminately. The troop leader turned around to leave.
Is this a forbidden area?
Graber asked. Why?
The air raid warden over there said it was.
That warden is weak in the head. He's been fired from his job. Stay here as long as you like. Perhaps you can get a place to sleep at the Red Cross office. It's where the station used to be. If you're lucky.
Graber was searching for the door. At one place the rubble had been cleared away, but nowhere was there an opening that led into the cellar. He climbed over the wreckage. In the midst of it rose a section of the staircase. The steps and the landing were intact, but they led senselessly into emptiness. The rubble behind them was piled high. A satin-covered chair stood there in a niche, precise and orderly, as though someone had put it there on purpose. The rear wall of the neighboring house had fallen diagonally across the garden and had piled up on the other ruins. Something hurried away in that direction. Graber thought it was the old man he had just seen, but then he saw that it was a cat. Without thinking, he lifted a stone and threw it. He had suddenly had the baseless notion that the animal had been gnawing at corpses. Hurriedly, he climbed over to the other side. Now he knew that it was the right house. A small part of the garden had remained undamaged, and a wooden arbor still stood there with a bench inside, and behind it, the stump of a linden tree. Cautiously, he ran his hand over the bark and felt the grooves of carved initials that he himself had put there many years before. He turned around. The moon was coming up over the ruined walls and now lighted the scene. It was a landscape of craters, inhuman and strange, something that one dreamed about, but that could not be real. Graber had forgotten that in recent years he had hardly seen anything else. The back entrances seemed hopelessly buried under rubble. Graber listened. He knocked one of the iron girders and stood still, listening again. Suddenly, he thought he heard a whimpering. It must be the wind, he thought. It can't be anything but the wind. Then he heard it again. He rushed in the direction of the stairs. The cat leaped away in front of him from the steps on which she had taken refuge. He went on listening. He realized he was shaking. And then all of a sudden, he was absolutely certain that his parents lay under the ruins, that they were still alive and shut up in darkness, and that they were scratching with desperate skinless hands and whimpering for him. He tore at the stones and rubble, then thought better of it and hurried back the way he had come. He fell, gashed his knee, rolled over mortar and stones down to the street, and rushed back to the house where he had been working with the others. Come! This is not 18. 18 is over there. Help me dig them out.
What? Asked the overseer, straightening up.
This is not 18. My parents. Over there.
Where?
There. Quick.
The other looked over.
That's an old one, he said then, very considerately and gently. Much too late, soldier. We've got to go on working here.
Graber threw his knapsack off his shoulder.
They're my parents. Here. I have things. I have food. Money.
The man fastened his red, streaming eyes on him.
That a reason to let the people down here die? No, but... Well, then, the ones here are still alive. Perhaps you could later?
Later!
Don't you see these men are dropping with weariness? I have worked with you here the whole night. You might at least...
Man,
said the overseer, suddenly angry.
Be reasonable. There's no longer any point in digging over there. Can't you understand that? You don't even know whether there is anyone underneath.
Probably not. Otherwise, we'd have heard something about it. And now leave us in peace.
He reached for his pick. Graeber stood there. He looked at the backs of the working men. He looked at the stretchers. He looked at the two medical corpsmen who had arrived. The water from the broken main was flooding the street. He felt that all his strength had left his body. He thought of going on shoveling. He could no longer do it. Wearily, he dragged himself back to what had been number 18. He examined the ruins. Once more, he began to push stones aside, but soon gave it up. It was impossible. After the debris had been cleared away, there were iron girders, concrete and ashlars. The house had been well built, and that made the ruin almost impregnable. Perhaps they had really been able to escape, he thought. Perhaps they had been evacuated. Perhaps they're in a village in South Germany. Perhaps they're in Rotenburg. Perhaps they're somewhere asleep in bed. Mother, I'm empty. I no longer have a head or a stomach. He crouched down beside the stairs. Jacob's ladder, he thought. What had that been? Wasn't it a stair that led to heaven? And didn't angels climb up and down on it? Where were the angels now? Transformed into airplanes. Where was everything? Where was the earth? Was it only for graves? I have dug graves, he thought. Many graves. What am I doing here? Why doesn't anyone help me? I have seen thousands of ruins, but I had never really seen one. Only today, this one is the first. This one is different from all others. Why am I not lying under it? I ought to be lying under it. It grew quiet. The last stretchers were lugged away. The moon rose higher. The sickle hung pitiless over the city. The cat appeared again. She watched Graeber for a long time. Her eyes shone green in the insubstantial light. She approached cautiously. Silently, she glided around him several times. Then she came closer, rubbed against his feet, arched her back, and began to purr. Finally, she crept beside him and lay down. He did not notice it.